found in Matthew's Gospel, the 28th chapter. Once again, it's on page 1553. So when Easter Sunday finally gets here, as it has finally arrived today, we are so ready. We're so ready to shout hallelujah and to sing, as you did so wonderfully this morning, "Up from the grave he arose." We're ready, because Lent is long. It's 40 days, it's 6 Sundays, and Lent is hard with its focus on Christ's suffering, its focus on our sin and our brokenness, the emphasis on remorse over our sin and sinfulness, and the call that we hear so often during the Lenten season to die to self and to take up our cross and to follow Jesus. So when Easter breaks through, especially on such a glorious day as we have this morning, we can't get to the joy of resurrection and the victory of God fast enough. But this Easter Sunday, I want us to pay close attention to how the first Easter morning unfolded for the women who went to the tomb. And the reason I want us to do this is because I believe their journey from grief-stricken mourners to the first proclaimers of the resurrection, that this morning that journey offers for some of us comfort and encouragement. For others of us, that journey offers inspiration and boldness. And I think for all of us, it offers hope and it offers assurance. So as early as possible, Matthew says, at dawn on the first day, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary made their way to the tomb of Jesus. And make no mistake about it, they are grief-stricken. Mark and Luke tell us they come bringing spices to anoint Jesus' body. They do that as part of the ritual of giving to their Lord a proper burial. Now, when they arrive at the tomb, they are greeted by something that's totally unexpected. The large stone which had sealed Jesus' tomb has been rolled back, and an angel, a messenger from God in otherworldly, dazzling white clothes, sits atop that stone. And you heard in the words of the angel immediately that this messenger from God seeks to calm their most natural fears. He says to them, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay." By the way, this is not normal, right? This is not what is to be expected at a place of burial. So now what you have for Mary Magdalene and the other Mary is not only deep sorrow, it is now mixed with great confusion. And Mark, interestingly, describes their reaction to the news this way in his gospel. It's actually how Mark ends his gospel. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. Now Matthew, he nuances it a little bit differently. He writes, "So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples." It's that phrase, "afraid, yet filled with joy," that I find fascinating and very revealing. For one thing, it speaks about how disruptive The resurrection of Jesus is. You see these women in a natural state of deep mourning and sorrow. So on the one hand, we, like them, we know fear. We know in our human experience grief. We know sorrow. We know confusion. We know guilt. We all know what worry feels like. Because this is the stuff of daily life. And in this moment, these women, in the midst of their daily life, were experiencing a deep and disconcerting tragedy. I would say that even as people of faith, faith in the resurrected Lord, we still experience these things in much of our everyday lives. Grief, sorrow, guilt, confusion, worry. So in many ways, we are like these women. They come to the tomb burdened with grief, and they leave the tomb, at least in part, afraid. And so that caused me to think this morning, for some of us this morning, we're struggling with Easter. The joy of the day is muted by the ongoing or unexpected work of grief. As we experience our first Easter after the death of someone we dearly loved. And for others, the joy of this Easter day is clouded by the discouraging situation that you may face daily at your work or at school, or the struggles of uncertainty with health or other situations. And so the experience of these women on that first Easter morning, these faithful followers of Jesus, offers to us who are struggling today both consolation and comfort. For we see the messenger, the angel, speak into their grief and speak into their confusion. Do not be afraid. But then as they go, they encounter the risen Lord. And his first words to them also speaks into their fear and into their confusion. Do not be afraid. And so, in these women, we see Christ coming to meet them at their point of need. And as he does that, they experience something else as well. Not only comfort and consolation, but hope. But hope, because the resurrected Christ reveals himself to these women in the midst of their confusion and fear, and he speaks the power of resurrection right into their circumstances. Do not be afraid. And those words coming from the resurrected Lord, this disruptive power of Christ's resurrection changes the trajectory of their sorrow and their fear. It changes the trajectory from despondency to hope. It changes the trajectory from uncertainty to assurance. Stones, even big honking stones, don't get in the way of the disruptive power of Christ's resurrection. Empires, not even the power of mighty Rome, can stop the disruptive power of Christ's resurrection. I just have this wonderful picture of the angel. He's sitting on top of that stone that had been sealed by the Roman authorities, and his legs are just swinging back and forth. Oh, pebbles. We're talking resurrection here, the power of God, the love of God. Fear can't overcome the disruptive power of Christ's resurrection. And even death itself can't stop It will not stop the disruptive power of Jesus' resurrection. Resurrection is that relentless reality that just keeps coming at us, even in our toughest circumstances. So though we fully acknowledge hardships that life throws at us, ultimately they do not have the final word for us. As followers of the resurrected Christ, it is the empty tomb and the relentless reality of the resurrection that speaks the benediction on our lives. The early followers of Jesus understood this so clearly, so well. That's why we, as those who are heirs of their faith, benefit from their faithfulness in understanding the relentless and disruptive power of the resurrection. From the early church, as Christians would gather at a burial of one of God's saints, they would say to one another, "Even at the grave, we make our song. We make our song." Why? Because the grave is not the final word. The empty tomb and the resurrection of Jesus, that is the final word. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen.